May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scriptures, especially this morning, are filled with reminders that we're very far from living in alignment with God's plans for us. Jesus warns us against being lights who hoard their light, put under a bushel, or salt that's lost its saltiness. Isaiah's words are more pointed, peeling back the veneer of our piety to show how shallow and self-serving it can sometimes be. His words go to the heart of that human tendency to draw close to God just for our own personal benefit, forgetting those in need around us. Sometimes we strive to make things right with God while forgetting how much God wants us to be going about the work of making things right with everyone around us, to be righting the wrongs of the world. These words, these points that are being made in the scriptures, can make us feel like we're always falling short, that we're somehow wrong in the eyes of God, like a finger's being pointed at us. But as we hear in Isaiah, finger pointing is part of the problem. It's not what God is up to. I love those words from Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. Finger pointing in this catalog of points that Isaiah makes is right up there with speaking evil. It's part of the yoke, which is the burden in our midst that weighs us down, makes us feel worn out. So it's important that we hear these reminders of what's wrong as compassionate expressions of God's love for us and not harsh words of blame. Human beings don't respond well to harsh words. I was once in a training. It was a listening and reflecting training, how to mirror someone's words back to them. And we broke into small groups and we listened to stories and then we said back what we wanted, what we heard. And then we had a little training exercise where we reflected on what went right. And the teacher said, just focus on what worked for you in the experience. And there was kind of a little rebellion. People were like, no, I want critical feedback. I want to know what I did wrong. And she said, you know. We're our own worst critics. She said, just let it be positive. You'll learn better that way. It was a great teaching. Criticism deflates us, discourages us, and we're so used to doing it to ourselves and to others. Blame and finger-pointing are symptoms of this human psycho-spiritual disease that we have, a disease that in old-fashioned language is called what? Sin. Yep. That's what we call it in old language, and we can call it that in new language, but there's problems. I don't know a better word for it, not one that's that short and succinct, but I do know that the word sin is hard for many of us for good reasons. It's been used with so much finger pointing that it feels full of blame and shame for many people. It's kind of ironic that in a sign of the human sickness itself, that we've turned the name of our affliction into a byword or tagline for blame and feeling bad about ourselves. We do that. We do that. We blame people for the illnesses that they have. We blame people for the trouble that they are in. We say the words, that's so sick, in ways that is often dripping with contempt instead of with compassion. The compassion's been bled out of those words and the way we use them sometimes. So much finger pointing. We human beings, we all carry around in us this tendency towards blaming, towards oppressing each other, and towards blaming and oppressing ourselves too. Most of us have a harsh inner voice that's as bad as anything that we've ever heard from anybody else. In fact, it's what we heard from somebody else that helped us develop it. We learn how to treat ourselves as badly as anyone else has ever done. This is because I think that it gives us a sense of regulation and control over the damage that's being done. If I can call myself an idiot in a louder voice than I've ever heard from someone else, then maybe it won't hurt as bad when I'm criticized. Yeah, we do that. We're so fragile, and yet we try to be so tough, toughen ourselves up. So we're tough on ourselves, and we're tough on others too, and it becomes this vicious circle. We become hard-hearted, to use another biblical term. And then in that hard-heartedness, we get into survival mode, which turns us inward and self-focused in ways that makes us forget about the pain and suffering around us. And that pain and suffering around us is everywhere, and it can paralyze us. The problems might seem too big to tackle. How to care for all the hungry and homeless people around us? How do we really give our food to the hungry? How do we bring the homeless into our homes, as Isaiah said? How do we do that practically? How do we strive for justice and equality in a world that's so unjust and so unequal? There are many ways to offer a hand and to volunteer, and we already know what they are. We know what's around us, the food bank, the resource center, the dinner kitchen, Tuesday lunches, the Sea Dog Society, Wolf Hollow, because it's not just human pain and suffering that we're called to tend to. And then wider circles, political action, environmental organizations. There's so many places to do something, to try and do something. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is more this finger pointing. The problem is that part of the human sickness that makes us stop caring, to think that the problems are too big, too unsolvable. But I think that the biggest problem is the finger pointing, blaming the victim, finding ways inside of ourselves to tut and tisk instead of letting our hard heart soften and break open to the pathos of it all. Because we're all suffering some awful condition that makes us treat each other badly. Again, the old-fashioned word is sin. Makes us treat ourselves badly too. Makes us treat the earth and all of her creatures in harsh ways. But none of this is meant to be said as finger-pointing or blame. It's meant to be filled with compassion. God doesn't point a finger. God beckons, and God and Jesus stretches the arms wide open to embrace, to invite in. It's not a finger pointing, it's a beckoning. Jesus, the human one, is trying to call out in each of us what is truly human. Because each of us have in us some vestige back in those ancient ruins that Isaiah talks about, of what it is to really be human in a beautiful way. Paul has that great line in Corinthians that we heard, "For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within?" What human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? And that human spirit within is deep, deep in us. I have one teacher who says that human spirit is on the run from us, from our the way we are. It's gone deep in hiding. But God calls that human spirit out of us. God remembers something that exists in humans that we've lost. Again, buried in those ancient ruins of the past, perhaps in a time, and I think this is true, in a time before civilization as we know it. This is what our creation stories try and talk about. Some time, all the creation myths, have some time where things were different, where there was some sort of peace and harmony, where we walked with God the way that animals still do. Which is why so many people, I think, say, oh, I feel so at peace in nature. Not everybody, but many people, especially people on Orcas. Many people, church for them is walking around Mountain Lake or just being with the old growth trees. We feel peaceful in nature because nature is in harmony with itself, in harmony with its creator. What's truly human, that deep, deep part of us, is at home in nature as we see all these other creatures just being themselves. But God's not calling us back to some pre-Eden time. That's not the way creation unfolds. Creation unfolds in the present and into the future. God calls us to live as true human beings here, right now, in the present, so that we can create with God a future that is healed and whole. Jesus calls us to follow him in his ministry that puts us right into the midst of this crazy, broken world, just as it is, not to go live off the grid in some fantasy that we've escaped it all. No, we're all a part of it. And it's not, doesn't work to blame ourselves, to get beyond the blame, not shut down, not shut in, not curled up inside of ourselves, but awake and alert to what's going on, letting ourselves be soft-hearted. From that place, when we're awake to the world around us, we can face our own suffering, we can feel it again, puncture the numbness that afflicts us and that our culture constantly feeds up all these ways we can numb out. God calls us out of that place of numbness to engage our suffering, to engage the suffering of other people, to share what we have, to share our food and our shelter. Not in a perfect way. Be on the lookout for all the finger pointing we can do to organizations that are so imperfect. Because yeah, it's all imperfect. Nothing is a perfect cure. But to try anyway, just as best as we can, with our broken institutions that are trying, maybe start new ones if we're called to do that, speaking kindly to ourselves, speaking kindly to others, instead of blaming, embracing all that's broken inside of us, embracing all that's broken in others. And then we can greet that time that Isaiah so beautifully describes. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Amen.